Media shouldn't be one note. Support Rabble.ca and a diversity of voices in Canadian media. Visit rabble.ca/donate to contribute.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's radio, free radio.
Hi, and welcome to Gooder Goods, a podcast about conscious consumption. I'm Kelly Okamura, and I'd like to share with you my long journey from front row fashionista to shopping in my closet as a trendsetter. We're all consumers who wear clothes. And as a professional in the purchasing system, my spending spree has taught me a lot about why clothes matter and why all of us need to think twice before we mindlessly make our next purchase. And hopefully before we wreck our planet for the sake of a bargain that we thought was too good of an opportunity to miss out on.
Hi, and welcome back to Gooder Goods. I hope you may have noticed the visual for this podcast. This might be a funny visual from the Design with Dialogue April 13th session that I led at Nuvango Gallery in Toronto. Thanks to all who contributed to this rich and complex conversation about trust building in multi-stakeholder systems based on price. Unfortunately, the audio recording from the session was less rich, so I'm going to try and share some of the insights gained from this useful dialogue. If you haven't seen the visual, it's a case of President's Choice bottled water. The packaging is open and a few bottles are missing. For the off-site Design with Dialogue, I brought in the water as part of my activist installation and a counterpoint to a jug of dirtied tap water. And I made a sign that said the bottles were on sale for $2 a bottle. I likely paid $3 a case, but it's common to buy a case of bottled water for less, which is what happened when my partner Mike picked up a different case of water for under $2 at a different grocery store, which I already knew didn't have the brand I wanted. It's not worth returning, so now we have two cases of bottled water for under $5. We argued several times on why this outstanding item on my pre-event to-do list was so important to me. And in my busyness, I was not able to make my point clear to him. So I'm going to try in this podcast to land my point. Whether the dialogic focus I was leading was based on the apparel system, the issue of trust building based on price is relatable to anything consumers are buying based on price alone. If you note the visual, you will clearly see that it is branded with the green eco label to help harried shoppers just buy and feel good about the choice. Do I trust that my consumer voting dollars are supporting an eco choice if I buy? No. Yes. Maybe. I don't know. The answer when I stop and think about the purchase gets complicated. Mistrust on the eco-messaging of the seller is a deciding factor of my action to buy. So why did I make the effort to spend my money and time on this particular case of water for this event? My primary goal was to offset the seemingly dirty jug of tap water beside it. Clean water is a human right globally, but textile production and the business of making apparel are the second largest global polluters after oil and gas production, and a useful example of the unaccounted costs of a single bottom line business statement. What does that mean? 20th century business decisions are singularly based on increasing quarterly profit and not accounting for cost to people and planet. Modern garment production and buying products based solely on price are affecting our water and food, like an unblemished poison apple. Or more simply put, making purchases solely based on cheap prices does not account for your dollar's impact, and ultimately it costs all of us more and harming another person's ability to have a basic necessity of life. When I was invited to present a flourishing fashion dialogue this month, I proposed my current challenge on establishing trust between sellers and end users of mandated school uniforms. Since a purchaser can't vote with their spending dollars, students don't have the choice to even sew their own uniforms. So part of this provincial community has rallied for more than a decade to ensure that the garments align with their religious values, which include worker equity. Essentially, they want gooder goods, and provincially it represents approximately $30 million in sales annually, and expanded globally enough dollar power to have impact on the apparel system if people care. Care enough to make the effort to change the current situation to flourishing. With less than a month's notice, I scrambled to find a way for DWD participants to quickly grasp the complexity of the modern apparel system, and why students who are mandated to wear uniforms don't trust that the uniforms that they put on their backs to go to school are made with worker equity. You can see the student film, Wear the Justice, that evolved from their equity work in this area from a link on my Gooder Goods Facebook page. A quick backstory. I've been volunteering my professional input to help this group that includes students, teachers, parents, and the greater community to achieve no sweatshop mandated school uniforms. Nearly a year ago, I put my professional reputation on the table that I could get them no sweatshop apparel for the fall 16-17 school year. As a working group, progress has been made towards greater understanding of the challenge to achieve our common goal of Gooder Goods. But the purchasing tenders have now been awarded, and there's not agreement on whether no sweatshop mandated uniforms have been achieved. Making clothes is easy, but making products based on profit and buyer trust are not. To be clear, I'm not stating that the current uniforms are produced in sweatshops. But I can state that there is not agreement between a uniform producer and the end user whether the uniforms in question are made with acceptable equity. Despite board policies, factory audits, and the collective desire for Gooder Goods, despite expressed interest in a collaborative process, the dialogue between seller and consumer has not taken place. So I jumped at the opportunity to offer up this wicked problem for the inquiry to my Design with Dialogue community, which has academic connections to the Strategic Foresight and Innovations Master's Program out of the Ontario College of Art and Design U, and systems academics, experts, and design thinkers like me. So to not waste time speculating on the reality of making goods in global supply chains, I invited a number of industry colleagues to join us for the dialogue. After visualizing a proposed closed-loop system, I then split the loop into four quadrants with axis poles of product, earth, and seller consumer. And I landed the school uniform at the center as our reference point. I formed the dialogue of what was necessary to inspire buyer's trust, focused on the tension between seller and consumer. After many heated planning sessions about the inquiry questions to attendees, I boiled it down to why should I care, and then what do I need to know? I used several techniques to embody why care, including a short video from Labor Behind the Label. Link on the Gooder Goods Facebook page for this 3-minute clip. And despite our best efforts, the dialogue took on a life of its own. It was a dynamic dialogue that was hard to bring to a timely close, in part because attendees successfully connected to the insight. We all wear clothes. Thankfully, Navango's owners, Don and Drew, were key participants along with their industrial sewer, Jessica. Some really interesting insights emerged for me, and new knowledge was gained by many attendees, including the insight that most of us have lost our awareness of what we choose to put on our backs. Here's a quick exercise if you want to embody this learning too. Next time you have a moment in a setting with others, on public transit, or a meeting, or a classroom, put your hands on your lap and close your eyes. Focus on the textiles between your fingers and the skin below. Feel the surface and note the layers that separate exposed flesh to the outside elements. Take a breath and open your eyes. Do you see any naked people? We all wear clothes, and generally we make choices of what we put on, but typically not who made them, or what is the impact of all of us buying without thought to our consumer responsibility in keeping fast fashion cycles spinning towards outcomes that none of us want. Way too deep. Okay, let's go back to the water bottles. Recall this podcast visual. Not many of the 24 bottles in the case were drunk, but after the session, I know many pints were poured for thirsty participants afterwards as we continued to talk beyond this month's dialogue session coming to an end. Despite buying drinks later, most DWD participants chose not to pay $2 for a bottled water, despite likely having a toonie in their pocket. Despite the packaging that said it was eco and natural spring water, branded with the President's Choice label. Despite their thirst, they chose not to drink the free murky water in the jug, which was actually broken tea bags and soap. Did they care enough to pay for the choices I offered? Price for perceived value is a stopper. We Canadians, who have easy access to clean water, don't feel we have to pay. Part of our modern conundrum for creating equilibrium shift is to connect consumers to the implications of our purchasing habits, like buying based on price without questioning the marketing of what they're paying for, or assuming that we are getting good value buying cheap fashion at Joe Fresh while we buy groceries. What if one was aware that your next fashion thrill connects to your next imported fruit that's been grown with toxic water? Which informed my second question to the group dialogue. What do I need to know? I shared information beyond the price tag that is mandated on all textile products. It includes the brand label, country of origin, fabric content, care instructions, and the CA number. This is where I told attendees to take off their clothes so that they could know more about what they put on their backs. Many consumers are unaware that the CA number, or RN for American goods, is a product registry of who is responsible for this product in this country. So you can go online with this number and find that out. But what you won't know is who actually made your garment and under what conditions. So take part in the Global Fashion Revolution, April 18 to 24, that asks CA registrants who actually made your clothes. I started Gooder Goods to develop a business process for companies to address the modern complexity of managing triple bottom line, transparent profit, plus respect for people and planet. And that has landed in flourishing fashion. And I started the Gooder Goods podcast for consumers to help make purchasing decisions for tomorrow, next season, and for the foreseeable future. Because we're all consumers and part of the fashion system. If consumers don't also care, we will simply sustain the path that we're on now, which many of us agree is not sustainable for future life on our finite planet. Be gooder and make conscious purchasing decisions.
Follow me on Twitter at GooderGoods. The links I referenced can be found on Facebook. Search Gooder Goods. And the podcast is uploaded on soundcloud.com/goodergoods. Choose to be gooder.